It's not something that a Hitler or a Borgia could cook up in his backyard.
In their own times, no. Now they could, I said. You, of all people, should see how.
Me, of all people?
You've got a nanoforge in your basement. When you wanted to make something, what do?
Ask it. We tell it what we want, and it goes into its catalog and tells us what raw materials we have to come up with.
You can't ask it to make a duplicate of itself, though.
They say no, it would melt down if you did. I'm not inclined to try.
But that's just part of the programming, right? In theory, you could short-circuit it.
Ah,
he nodded slowly.
I see where you're heading.
That's right. If you could get around that injunction, you could say, in effect, recreate the Jupiter project for me. And if it had access to the raw materials and the information, it could do it.
As an extension of one person's will.
That's right.
My God!
He drank the rum and set the glass down hard.
My God!
Everything, I said. A trillion galaxies disappear if one maniac says the right sequence of words.
Marty has a lot of faith in the monsters he created,
Mendez said,
to let us share this knowledge.
Faith or desperation? Guess I got a mixture of both from him.
You hungry?
What?
You want dinner now, or should we all jack first?
That's what I'm hungry for. Let's do it. He stood up and brought his hands together in two explosive claps.
Big room! He shouted. Mark, you stay out and keep watch.
We followed everyone to a double door on the other side of the atrium. I wondered what I was getting myself into. Julian was used to being 10 people at once, but it was stressful and confusing at times, even with people you had grown close to. He didn't really know what to expect, linking with 15 men and women he'd never met, who had been jacked together for 20 years. That would be alien territory, even without Marty's pacifistic transformation. Julian had used his horizontal liaison to weekly link with other platoons, and it was always like breaking in on a family discussion. 8 of these had been mechanics, at least, or proto-mechanics. He was more nervous about the others, the assassins and murderers. More curious about them, too. Maybe they could teach him something about living with memories. The big room held a ring-shaped table surrounding a hollow pit.
Most of us get together here for the news, Mendez said. Movies, concerts, plays. Fun to have all the different points of
view. Julian wasn't sure about that. He'd mediated too many firestorms in his platoon, where one person came up with a strong opinion that divided the 10 into 2 bickering camps. It took about a second to start, and sometimes an hour to sort out. The walls were dark mahogany, and the table and its chairs were fine-grained spruce, a slight whisper of linseed oil and furniture polish. In the pit, an image of a forest clearing, dappled sunlight on wildflowers. There were 20 seats. Mendez offered Julian a chair and sat down next to him.
You might want to plug in first, he said. Let people come in one at a time and introduce themselves.
Sure. Julian realized this had all been rehearsed. He stared at the wildflowers and plugged himself in. Mendez was the first one, waving a silent hello. The link was strange, powerful, in a way he'd never come close to experiencing. It was startling, like seeing the sea for the first time. And it was like a sea in a literal way. Mendez's consciousness floated in a seemingly endless expanse of shared memory and thought. And he was comfortable with it the way a fish is comfortable with the sea, moving through its invisibility. Julian tried to communicate his reaction to Mendez, along with a sense of rising panic. He wasn't sure whether he could manage two such universes, let alone 15. Mendez said it actually gets easier with more. And then Cameron plugged in to prove it. Cameron was an older man who had been a professional soldier for 11 years when he volunteered for the project. He had gone to a sniper school in Georgia and trained for long-distance murder with a variety of weapons. Mostly he had used the Mauser Fernschießer, which could target people around a corner or even over the horizon. He had 52 kills and separate grief for each of them, and a single large pang for the humanity he had lost with the first shot. He also remembered the exhilaration the kills had given him at the time. He had fought in Colombia and Guatemala and automatically made a connection with Julian's jungle days, absorbing and integrating them almost instantly. Mendez was still there, too, and Julian was aware of his immediate connection with Cameron, casually sorting through what the soldier had taken from his new contact. That part was not so alien, except for the speed and completeness of it. And Julian could understand why the totality could become more clear as more people joined. All the information was already there, but parts of it were better focused now that Cameron's point of view had combined with Mendez's. Now Tyler. She was one of the murderers, too, having remorselessly killed 3 people in 1 year for money to support a drug habit. That was just before cash became obsolete in the States. She had been captured in a routine check when she tried to emigrate to a country that had both paper pesos and designer drugs. Her crimes were older than Julian was, and although she didn't deny legal or moral responsibility for them, they literally had been done by a different person. The DD doper who lured 3 pushers into bed and killed them there, as a favor for their boss, was just a vivid melodramatic memory, like a movie you saw a few hours ago. For the peaceful part of her day, Tyler was part of the 20, as they still called themselves in their minds, even though 4 had died. Other times she worked as an arbitrageur, bartering and buying commodities in dozens of different countries, Alliance and Nagumi. With her own nanoforge, the 20 could survive without wealth. But then if the machine asked for a cup of praseodymium, it was nice to have a few million rupees close to hand. So Tyler could buy it without having to go through a lot of tiresome paperwork. The others came in more rapidly, or seemed to, once Julian got over the initial strangeness. As each of the 15 presented himself or herself, another part of the vast but now not endless structure became clear. When they had all logged in, the ocean was more like an inland sea, huge and complex, but thoroughly mapped and navigable. And they sailed together for what seemed like hours in a voyage of mutual exploration. The only one they had ever jacked with outside the 20 was Marty, who was a sort of godfather figure, remote because he only jacked one way with them now. Julian was a vast treasure of quotidian detail. They were hungry for his impressions of New York, Washington, Dallas. Every place in the country had been drastically changed by the social and technological revolution, the universal welfare state that the nanoforge had wrought, not to mention the endless Nagumi War. The 9 who had been soldiers were fascinated with what the soldier boy had become. In the pilot program they had been taken from, the primitive machines were little more than stick men with one laser finger. They could walk around and sit or lie down and open a door if the latch was simple. They all knew from the news what the current machines were capable of doing, and in fact 3 of them were war boys, after a fashion. They couldn't go to the conventions, but they followed units and jacked into soldier boy crystals and strings. It was nothing like being jacked two-way with an actual mechanic, though. Julian was embarrassed by their enthusiasm, but could share their amused feedback at his embarrassment. He was familiar enough with that from his platoon. A lot of it became more and more familiar feeling as he grew used to the scale of it. It wasn't only that the 20 had been together so long, they had also been around a long time. At 32, Julian was the oldest in his platoon by several years. Altogether, they had less than 300 years of experience. The aggregate age of the 20 was well over 1,000, a lot of that time spent in mutual contemplation. They weren't exactly a group mind, but they were a lot closer to that state than Julian's platoon. They never argued, except for amusement. They were gentle and content. They were humane. But were they quite human? This was the question that had been in the back of Julian's mind from the time Marty first described the 20. Maybe war is an inevitable product of human nature. Maybe to get rid of war, we have to become something other than human. The others picked up on this worry and said, no, we're still human in all the ways that count. Human nature does change, and the fact that we've developed tools to direct that change is quintessentially human, and it must be a nearly universal concomitant to technological growth everywhere in the universe. Otherwise, there would be no universe. Unless we're the only technological intelligence in the universe, Julian pointed out. So far, there's no evidence to the contrary. Maybe our own existence is evidence that we're the first creatures to evolve far enough to hit the reset button. Someone does have to be the first. But maybe the first is always the last. They caught the hopefulness that Julian was protecting with pessimism. You're much more idealistic than us, Tyler pointed out. Most of us have killed, but none of us was driven to attempt suicide by remorse over the act. Of course, there were a lot of other factors, which Julian didn't have to explain. He was cushioned by wisdom and forgiveness, and suddenly had to get out. He pulled the plug and was surrounded, but alone. 15 people staring down at the wildflowers, staring into their collective soul. He checked his watch and was shocked. Only 12 minutes had actually passed during all those seeming hours. One by one, they unjacked. Mendez kneaded his face and grimaced.
You felt outnumbered.
That's part of it. Outgunned. All of you are so good at this, it's automatic. I felt, I don't know, out of control.
We weren't manipulating you.
Julian shook his head. I know you were being very careful that way, but I felt like I was being absorbed anyhow, by my own willingness. I don't know how long I could stay jacked with you before becoming one of you.
And that would be such a bad thing?
Ellie Fraser said. She was the youngest, almost Amelia's age, beautiful hair, prematurely white. Not for me, I think, not for me personally. Julian studied her quiet beauty and knew, along with everyone else, exactly how desperately she desired him. But I can't do it yet. The next stage of this project involves going back to Portobello with a set of false memories, infiltrating the command cadre. I can't be as obviously different as you are.
We know that, she said. But you could still spend a lot more time with us.
Ellie, Mendez said gently. Turn off the goddamned pheromones. Julian knows what's best for him.
I don't, actually. Who would? Nobody's ever done anything like this before.
You have to be cautious,
Ellie said, in a way that was reassuring and infuriating. We know exactly what you think, and though you're wrong, we'll go along with it. Mark LaBelle, the chess master and wife murderer, who had stayed out of the circle to answer the phone, ran pounding over the little bridges and skidded to a stop in front of them.
A guy in uniform, he said, panting. Here to see Sergeant Class.
Who is it? Julian said.
A doctor, he said. Colonel Zamot Jefferson.
Mendez, in all the authority of his own black uniform,